Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini. And I'm Gwen Berry. I'm in South Florida where there is no snow coming. And Nick, you're in New York City where bunches of snow is coming.
It's coming. It's called Hercules this time around. I was like, wow, that's pretty, you know, hardcore to call this
now
storm. We'll see if it lives up to its name.
Now they're naming them. You know, what occurs to me is that in the years of industrialization in the late 1800s and then again when my mom was a kid, you know, in the late 20s and also in the 50s when I was a kid, of course that's Rochester, but the late 50s, there were big, huge snowstorms. I mean, this was part of the weather system. And now it seems to me it's more about news than it is about, you know, climate change or anything. Of course, we're getting some really big storms that spread out. But in the wintertime, that's what used to happen. That's what made Florida so rich, okay? And made California the movie capital. It was
right.
Big storm. And I really
yeah.
can't help but feel that it's an exploitation and it allows people to sell goods to, you know, folks run in and clear out the grocery stores and
sure.
Wally World there and all of that. And it just, I don't know. And plus the fact that the cities are pimping for more funds out of you to do the job that was always done before without all of this mess. And I get that feeling. I mean, and I'm not a climate denier. There is climate change going on. There is an awful problem with our environment and the crisis of weather. However, I get the feeling that these storms are not, you know, when we're talking about the storm that washed ashore in the Philippines, now that was extraordinary. And that was an example of what the temperature rise on this planet is doing in the seas. But this is coming down from the north, as it usually does in the winter, and it's a regular big barrel-ass snowstorm. And I don't
yeah.
think that's unusual. I just think it's
no.
a way for them to have some more news clips and to sell products. Do I?
And fear, you know, and I see things like
oh, yeah.
Storm Hercules, and it said something about Target, 1 million people. I was like, Target? What is that? What do you
yeah,
mean?
That's
ridiculous.
Just,
come on, settle down.
it's really, it is really awful. Did you have
well, I love the snowstorms, and you know, it would be January without one, so rock and roll.
Yeah, and some of the worst blizzards that ever hit were in January, and it's normal for a few to come up, so, you know, belly up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm saying that from South Florida.
Well, I'm saying it from New York City, so it's fine, really. I mean, whatever's happening, we just got to roll with it, right? Isn't that part of the consciousness shift? We got to shift ourselves.
There you go. I would love to just mention to all listeners and those folks listening in archive, Happy New Year from myself and I'm sure from Nick.
Yeah, happy New Year, everyone, to the Year of Love. I'm probably going to say that all year. 2/14, Year of Love.
Yeah, you brought that up. That was a pretty good one. I like that. I thought I'd share with folks what Cosmic Intelligence has been posting through the new year. Sarah Gilbert over there on New Year's Eve, she posted that at 6 a.m., and that's, it's like more 6 p.m. our time, 6 a.m. their time is 6 p.m. our time, I believe. But the Sun and Pluto were in exactly conjunct or sharing their energy. So we've got the Sun with Pluto. That's a huge shift. I know, just being a layman, that's the, when you combine the star with Pluto, you know, complete transformation, death and taxes, the whole thing. This brings enormous potential for fundamental evolutionary change. Now, this is the energy the year rode in on. At this time, we're being told by the scientists that the Sun has undergone a pole change. And if it reaches midpoint of its cycle, we are aware of a new cycle just beginning with the Sun and Moon in Capricorn. So there was a huge bit of energy through this new year.
Wow.
Did you feel it? I mean, the poles did switch on the Sun.
Mm.
That happens every 30 years or something. It's not an unusual phenomenon, but it is an energetic standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely felt more kinetic. Last year, I spent the New Year by myself, which I definitely recommend to anybody to do at least once in your lifetime. And I had a great time, but I just really didn't feel like being around, you know, random people. So I really enjoyed myself. But, you know, but this year, you know, I got an invitation and sounded like a good idea, and I went, and it was just a wonderful time from start to finish. And I definitely feel a lot less worry, and maybe because of the work I've been doing, but I do feel like I'm conscious of the things going on, the energies coming in and coming out, and so it definitely feels like a lot of change. That makes sense.
Well it's possible, this is how she puts it, the Sun and Moon in Capricorn, things are definitely on the move. And it's a wonder how you're experiencing the energy. It's possible there's a situation in your life that has broken down in such a manner that it must change radically if it is to continue under different circumstances. That applies directly to me. I am, once again, all of daughters. Alternatively, you may be trying to fix something that has broken or decayed. And that's going around, too. I've heard about people reconciling and you know, bygones be bygones. I heard that, too. Others may be trying to exert unreasonable power over you or forcing you to defend your right to do things as you see fit. It is best to avoid going places where you could encounter crime or violence. And the exact square to Pluto is the asteroid Medusa. Her archetype is a very interesting one. She's the beautiful Gorgon priestess Medusa, who represented femininity. And she was raped by Poseidon, the god of the oceans, representing uncontrollable desire and emotion, in the temple of Pallas Athena. Athena, who was born pathogenically from Zeus, and represents the patriarchy. I don't know if many people realize that Athena does represent the patriarchy.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. That's pretty interesting. But springing from her father's head, that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but in a good way, I think, in a very good way, mm-hmm. because she's absolutely, you know, goddess. So
right.
Anyway, took revenge for this insult to her sacred space of worship by punishing Medusa by turning her into a monster who turned those who looked at her into stone. And that's a removing of the ability of the feminine to attract uncontrollable emotions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that current society is trying to make unattractive about the feminine in all of us and in us all, or our ability to use our intuitive abilities? And are we going to continue to let it decay from us and from being balanced individuals? Because we're imbalanced when we're not using our feminine side. So That was interesting. And then today, mm-hmm. The energy, and again, I'm quoting Sarah Gilbert over at Cosmic Intelligence Agency, and she's saying that the sun is in its exact square to Mars today, bringing a very high energy level. Did you feel high energy today?
I wouldn't call it high energy.
I didn't feel it high either. I've been frustrated a few times.
I mean, I don't know how many people are feeling high energy like right after the New Year's celebration, unless you did the at-home thing, because I realized last year, day one, January 1, you know, I went to the gym, I did all kinds of things, so it's a totally different energy now, but interesting, high energy, huh? All right.
Which is best to find a healthy outlet or release for, and if you just sit on it or absorb too much of the energy inwardly, you're likely to draw anger or difficult situations to yourself by projection. Mercury is also forming an exact opposition to Juniper. Guess where I find it. Jupiter, which is my planet, today bringing a grandiose flavor to the way you think. Oh. The big picture will be much easier to visualize than will clear impressions of the individual parts that make it up. In fact, you're very likely to miss some precision and clarity around the fine details of what you are involved in today and can be easily tripped up by it. But it's important to read the fine print before you take action about anything. So basically she's saying, pay attention, the energy is high and things could be prickly. I think that's what she's saying there.
Mm.
Be clear.
That's interesting about the bigger perspective, because for the first time I've been looking at the new year as like day one sort of on the mountaintop and looking straight down into December 2014 and sort of feeling the energy and seeing what the map looks like in my meditation. So that's interesting.
Well, you know, speaking of looking at the full year, tonight at midnight is, and the link into the chat room. Tonight at midnight, Sherita, the author who comes in and has been on with us, is going to be activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, which is a show on the universe on Blog Talk Radio, and she's going to be giving them her predictions for the year.
Oh.
So that would be, I'm going to listen in, even if I do it tomorrow, but I'm going to put the link into our chat room, and there it is, and that's basically where we're at. And hello to the listeners, and thank you for being with us. I see you out there. And so I think we've kind of touched on, crossed our T's and dotted our I's. From my end, how about yours?
Yep, sounds good.
I wanted to continue. Oh, next week, I also want to put this up front too. Next week, we do have a guest, and I'm looking her up. Her name is Allie Cheslett. She is a life coach in upstate New York, well, in New York area. She'll be coming on to talk to us. She's a psychic and a medium and a psychologist. And she'll be coming on to discuss with us just exactly what her work entails and what she does in the upstate area. As a medium, I'm sure she has a lot of stuff to talk about with us, so I'm looking forward to it. She works in tandem with Sherita, who, you know, our pal that does the lexigrams. Jeez. Am I ever going to get that right? Do you think I'm ever going to?
Oh, pretty close.
Well, I'm tippling around it, but so anyways, there we go. Jeez.
Cool. That sounds fun. Nice. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. I'd like to ask her what she's getting on the next. So next week we're going to have a medium here who we can talk to about the upcoming year, what's going on, what she sees the energy signatures as, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Hey.
Yeah.
So we were talking about, we're continuing on with the light body series, and really wanted to get into each of the individual chakras this time, which are our personal vortexes. How would you explain a chakra to someone?
I kind of see them like the balls of energy in different places, and they tune to different notes. Musical notes.
That's very cool.
And just like on a musical instrument, you know, if they're out of tune, they can be a little sharp, a little flat. So, and then the energy itself, you know, it's the same thing with the musical or just the energy. I think that you can tune in either way and see where you're at. And also, you know, if you get, for instance, like throat, like I used to get strep throat a lot when I was younger. And so obviously, you know, throat chakra, all about speaking your mind, saying what you need to say. And so anytime I would get it, when I realized this was part of it, usually if there was something I had to say, either to someone or just to get out, it would start to lessen it. And the pain would go away. So I think there's definitely something to paying attention to the chakras.
They are an unseen network of personal vortexes. They are these little spinning energy points on both sides of the body, and they regulate the flow of chi or life force into your body. They basically regulate all of the flow through the nadi into your meridian points, and they will, in disease, they dampen or close meridians and flow, chi flow, when you're out of balance with them, and they can open up when you do get balance with them and when you balance them. So does that make some sense? Does that give greater? They're what create your auric field. And as they transform chi into specific qualities of vitality that are influenced by our thoughts and emotions. So it's our thoughts and emotions that really regulate our good health. And it's the chakras that are doing the regulation through our emotions. Our emotions are the overall control.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. You can say that again.
Well, it's energy medicine. It really is. It's Ayurvedic medicine. And there are 8 major chakras that spin along your spinal column, extending from above your crown in colorful expression to the first chakra that we're going to talk about, which is like at the balls of your feet, and that would be the earth chakra. Have you ever worked with the earth chakra?
Only because of you and working with your earth oil, and you were the first one to teach me about the earth chakra, and I think that's when I really started to learn grounding. I was always searching for grounding. How do I ground myself? How do I ground myself? And then that was really great with the feet, grounding in the feet, and as a chakra, you know, anchoring into that.
Yeah, well, it's bringing light from a source, chi energy, actually filling chi into your nadi and bringing it down, or just seeing it as light that is entering through your crown chakra and bringing it out of the heart of heaven or from the sun, some source of energy that is completely, you know, going constantly. In other words, an eternal source of energy. I didn't say that very well, sorry. And bringing it down through your crown chakra with creative visualization and bringing it through. If you awaken your earth chakra beneath the balls of your feet, it's like a little ball that is there between your heels and the balls of your feet. But the balls of your feet are the connective quality to your earth chakra. And bringing energy, light energy standard into that right there and awakening your earth chakra, it is very grounding. Of course, you can send it then down through completely into the heart of the planet, and you've got a real good grounding system going there. That's a wonderful meditation in itself.
Yeah, that's the grounding that I do, right through the crown, through the balls of the feet, to the center of the earth, and then back up, and then out, around.
Gotcha. Well, the earth chakra that is located bilaterally between the balls of your feet, two connective vortexes, one on each soul, but it forms one ball. You can just see it as one ball. And when you open and awaken it, your earth chakra securely connects you to the heart of the planet. You know, it's just a given. It will zim down. You can actually feel it if you're very sensitive and you're working with the light visualizations. Then you can actually bring it up, back up into your own heart center, and from there send it to the heart of whatever source of light you're using, whether it be the sun or the heart of heaven, the center of our Milky Way galaxy, that black hole center there with all that spiraling light coming out of it. And that's one really wonderful meditation to work with. The qualities of healing that are facilitated using your earth chakra are, it can calm and soothe and bring connective ability to the planet. And when you're feeling any kind of homesickness or you're feeling any kind of crisis or panic, because you're away from either the country or the city, you know, it's also a good idea to awaken your earth chakra if you have any kind of phobia with nature. Nick, people are afraid of nature. I'm finding this out. You know, Cliff Santorin, the author that we have on occasionally, and he's a writer, and he does all those wonderful stories about nature and living up off the land. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
It's an audio thing I require.
Yes. What about Cliff?
People are actually afraid of nature. I mean, he talks about working with folks who have phobias of nature. A lot of urban dwellers that have been in urban areas all their lives are afraid of being in the woods or near the woods, and they're afraid of animals. I had no idea anybody would really be serious. It just never occurred to me anybody would have a phobia of nature, you know?
Sounds like a fear of the unknown. And also, again, with the fear of the news, there's a spider somebody stepped on and it just, you know, ruined his whole life. And there's lions and tigers and bears and you don't know what's lurking in the woods, you know, those kinds of things. And people go, I'll never go in there. So,
Well, yeah. your earth chakra is a good, awakening and working with your earth chakra is a great way to basically relieve the onset of any of that kind of panic, and it'll calm, it'll soothe, and it'll give you a loving connection to the planet, which we all need to focus on during these times. I mean, want to heal and save the planet. It these creative visualization meditations and little exercises to bring us into balance. They're really important. So the earth chakra is calming and soothing. It boosts the quality of our connectiveness during any kind of earth healing ceremonies or going into a sacred site. And you know, those sites have to be activated. They require a relationship with living, all of the living planet, the living entities on the planet. It's not just an aloneness. We're all connected. We are all one. And so the earth chakra is the chakra that you use to connect yourself to the sacred sites. So if you're interested in sacred sites anywhere on the planet, if you do quality meditations, awakening your earth chakra and sending a light connection, just a string of light out from, say, you want to be connected to Stonehenge. You've always been fascinated and you'd love to be connected to Stonehenge. You just awaken your earth chakra and then send a connective light string filament to in the visualization process out to Stonehenge. Am I making sense?
Yeah, that sounds super cool.
Well, it assists our personal exploration of the planetary chakras, the sacred sites, and penetrating them. And it also helps us to locate those vortexes and sacred sites of the planet that are local to us, because there's a lot of them and they're everywhere on the planet. And, you know, some are huge and some are small, but we actually probably have our own little sacred site out there that is waiting for us, that is calling to us, and there's definitely one that is local. For you, it's the river, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you know what else you can do through your earth chakra? When you connect like that to the earth and you begin to reach out with creative-like visualizations, that helps folks to access the Akashic fields, the Akashic records, and to channel the historical bodies of consciousness of the planet are connective to our earth chakras that are connective to the heart of the planet. And the heart of the planet is connective to the Akashic field. So if you make all of those connections, especially with creative visualization work, you're going to be able to access easier those bodies of information.
So what generally, what kind of feelings or what do you get when you connect with either a sacred site near you or, say, Stonehenge or the pyramids or whatever? Like, what's the feeling? What happens?
Well, for me, I wait until I feel a true connection. It's usually a heaviness. I feel a heaviness, and then it's like a thunk. You know, oh my goodness, yes, I can feel it. I can say, and once you feel that, then it's a maintaining it, which is mostly intention. However, you're going to get that thickness, that heaviness of energy that's going to allow you to know that you've made the connection. I can't explain it better than that, I think, for every individual.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's unique.
Yeah.
For every individual, it's unique. But and the earth chakra connecting with other earth chakras and sacred sites, that's the ticket, is the earth chakra. So is there any question that anybody, I'm looking at the I'm trying to get a good look and see if there's any questions, but I'm not saying any. So you think we're covering the earth chakra pretty well there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. I'm just wondering, like, what do you do when you're connected to these sites? Like, is it just like an energy transfer that you're looking for? So once you've made the connection, you can sort of soak it in, or do you ask questions? Do you get things back?
Well, yeah. Yes to all the above. It's a unique experience. Stonehenge, I've been there. And I buried a black star sapphire there that I connected to, I imprinted with, to help me connect back up there. And what do I get from it? Well, I've learned a great deal over the years about standing stones. It's not just connecting and doing the visualization work. It's also studying the site, having as much information as you can about a sacred site, its history, what people know about it, you know? And with the internet, there's no excuse for folks that have internet access not to be able to invest some time in finding out about the sacred sites that they're interested in. You know, it's not just I want to, you know, the picture or whatever. You really
right.
do need to study and know about these things. Something. You have to have rudimentary information. Also, honor your intuition and your instincts. And if you get visions or you get any kind of impressions or imagery, you want to keep that in your mind's eye and do the homework on that. Not just intuit it, but also find out if there's anything there. And you might be tapping into some historical information. The reason for all of it is for the awakening of your consciousness and the consciousness of the planet and finding a unification between yourself and the planetary consciousness, which is many-fold. There are many dimensions to the planetary consciousness. There's the mineral realm, there's the plant kingdom, there are, you know, and these different sacred sites have a conscious connection not just to the past but to the present and what they imply for what is out there in the planetary, the Akashic fields, and what they hold, past, present, future. And we're talking now about the mental body of the planet, which is held in place by the consciousness of humanity. Because it's debatable, but we are considered the higher form of intelligence and consciousness of the planet. I wouldn't be surprised though if it got to the Akashic and it was all trees.
Right, or whales, you know.
I wouldn't be, and that's another thing, connecting to and diving into all the different sacred sites basically enables us to, and here's another thing, if you travel to sacred sites, it awakens you. It's a very awake, and that's one of the reasons people have been doing it since the 80s, is because going to a planetary sacred site or vortex helps to awaken, much as walking into a lot of the crop circles does.
Mm.
So there's a resonant energy there. The first time I was at Stonehenge, there was a huge hurricane blowing. The second time I was there, it was a whole different feeling. The first time I was there, they didn't keep you away from the stones. The second time I was there, you had to have permission. As a photographer, my friend had permission, so we went among the stones. And the third time I was there, I just stood outside the ring. But they're hummers, you know, standing stones. They're resonant hummers. They're like the tuning forks of the planet. You know that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Awesome.
And so connecting with the sacred sites is part of a healing process between you and the planet. And people are attracted to certain places. You know, a special place for me is Canyon de Chelly, Monument Valley and the Spider, Grandmother's Spider Rock in Chinle, Arizona, on the Lakota Hopi Reservation. To me, that's a very sacred place, and it called to me. Oftentimes, when you begin to do these visualizations and connections using light energy, you're going to awaken, and some place will call you. You know, it's like Valley High. It'll call you.
Yeah. So you're awakening with yourself as connecting with this place, which you are also connecting with the planet, and therefore awakening everything around you, really, little by little. That's great. That's really good information right there.
Well, and every sacred site has a chakra representation of its own. Remember, it's really important to remember that humanity, the human being, is the template of all life and all structure in the universe. So there is a light body and holistic body and chakras and the whole holistic dynamic of our light body and chakra network. It's the same thing that's on the different planets, the systems, the universe, the dimensions. It multiplies outward. Am I being clear?
Yeah, it's like a plug-in. It's one way to plug in.
Yeah, we are the template of creation. Every culture will tell you that. And that is where the essential divinity and God form comes from. Us. We're sacred. We're divine. We are the actual template of life and energy in known existence.
Hallelujah.
I cannot have an amen.
Absolute mo. That's great.
That's the
truth. Accept it, yeah.
Now I see that Chris is in the chat, and she's saying she has been to many sites, and she's saying that many places have called her. I feel the same way, and I know a lot of people within the community of spiritual awakening, metaphysics, new age, you know, yada yada yada, within our community, awakened, enlightened, I don't, you know, the one percenters, I don't know. Oh, that sounded wrong. Well, the one percenters of awake people. Anyways, oftentimes I find that everyone has this, you know, I've been called by many places. And there are those people who have absolutely no idea of the dynamic of all this, and yet they naturally are drawn to either live for a time or visit places that are huge sacred sites. And they resonate with a spiritual quality that you would call awakened. So it's not always a conscious thing. But it eventually becomes conscious in some way. Am I being clear?
Yeah, we like what we like for a reason. And we're attracted to things for a reason, whether we know what the reason is or not, or just that we like it, it's still a soul attraction. So
and
you go with it.
There you go. And our earth chakra has a lot to do with awakening our awareness of all of this and working with a consciousness that is aware of what's going on. So the earth chakra is a beautiful place to begin. And if you want to find out any information about it, there are some at Daughters of Isis, and I'm going to put because there's information on it over on the website. I'm going to put the link into the chat so people can go and take a look at the, or copy it or whatever they would like to do. But it's good information, and it's good beginning information. Always, always work with your own instincts and intuitions too. So now I think we can go on to the base chakra or root chakra. Muladhara is what it's called in Sanskrit. And the dynamic of the base chakra is your will. I will. Did you know that?
No.
Mm. Its color is scarlet, all forms of red. And its location is in the front and back of you at the base of your spine, and often called, as they say, the root chakra, or Muladhara. And it spins in all directions, and it filters your base emotions and your strategies of survival, and ensures that your primal energies for healing or leaps of growth remain constant. How's that?
Good.
It anchors you to home with the earth chakra, and it allows for that special resource of grounding, which is a familiarity of place. Now, when you go someplace and you get that deja vu episode come on you, or that phenomenon happens to you, ever had deja vu?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That is actually triggered in your root chakra.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And grounding with your base chakra eases your stress in moments of crisis. If you can remember to calm down, it's like one of the best people I know who doesn't panic is our pal Asa.
Mm.
He is pretty resonant with his base chakra.
Mm.
He knows how
to use it.
Yeah. In moments of fear, visualizing your base chakra rooted firmly in the planet beneath your feet with your earth chakra can rescue you from panic and bring you an emotional remedy. Just see a bright red rose at the base of your feet connected to the root, you know, to your root there at the base of your spine and your hoo-hoo.
Nice.
That's a technical term.
I guess that makes your shit not stink, right? I had to put that in there. I couldn't let it pass. Anyway, go on.
Your
that's very helpful.
Yeah, it is. It can calm panic really, really quickly. And you notice whenever you're around where there's a lot of subtle energy at play, or if you're with a very gifted psychic or anyone who's able to read your energy or tap in like that, it's your base chakra that goes off first. Do you ever notice that?
Ah.
Yeah, it is your light body. I don't care if you call it the Merkaba or you call it whatever you call it. Your light body goes into action without you consciously thinking. And that's a defensive action. It's like, okay, we feel penetration there. Somebody's reading. Might not be a rude thing, but it's happening. So your base chakra goes up, and it gives you a heads up. You're being read. Hello.
Mm. Like the tingles.
Uh-huh. You're being penetrated here. Yeah. Well, it's what's going on.
Incoming.
See? That's what I used to say. Incoming. Your base chakra, out of all your chakras, or all of your chakras, but your base chakra, it transforms chi, influenced by your thoughts and feelings at the speed of light. And this always going on at the speed of light and light. And this hyperluminosity, it demonstrates your ability to change your mind, you know. Your auric field is in a constant colorful flux. People who say, oh, your aura is blue, or your aura is this wonderful aqua with a little of this or a little of that. Well, yes, it is from time to time, but your actual, I have never looked at anybody in a static aura ever. It couldn't possibly be, or you'd be done. You know what I'm saying? You'd be done. So, because this is where all your life force is going through, and the colors of chakra are the you know, the gears and wheels that are regulating the flow of that life force. So it's in constant colorful flux. I mean, it's a light show, man, and it's happening to your changing thoughts and emotions. Now, when you're meditating, your auric field can get a little bit, you know, or with some people, like, you know, monks who spend all day contemplating their, you know, I was going to say something really not appropriate. A monk who spends all day in meditation, they have a lack of flux in their auric field. They resonate with certain colors real strongly and for long periods of time.
I see.
Uh-huh. But I'm no monk myself. And I work with energy all the time, but I still... If I'm charging stuff, or I'm bringing energy down into water, or working with the flowers or whatever, I can direct colored light and chi flow from a resource of the sun or the heart of the heaven, but my own is still in massive flux, a good one, I think, but still it's a light show. So the chi energies that are filtered and transformed into your physiological vitality through your base chakra, they sustain and support your spine, your blood, survival skills, and the balanced distribution of your personal willpower through the strength of your choices. Did everybody get that one? Your root chakra is a boomer. It is a big boomer. It's your personal willpower and the strength of your choices that the base chakra is reflecting. It connects you to the element of earth, and it initiates your sense of smell. Scent travels right past your analytical sensory buffers at the speed of light with an instant reaction or response. That's why what I do is such a great tool. Scent is such a wonderful tool. It bridges us from our subtle sensuality too. It awakens our psi or psychic capabilities. And the question that the base chakra basically asks you eventually in its, you know, dynamic and how it works when you are doing any kind of meditative work with your base chakra, the thing that comes up usually pretty quickly is there something more beyond my body? It urges you to question the physical and the unseen. So what would a weakened base chakra be like? How would people
what
act?
Would it be? What would people act? I would say, can't make a decision, withdrawn, or maybe very overly aggressive and trying to, you know, the best.
That wouldn't be weakened. That would be sort of overactive.
Right.
That would be overactive. A weakened is the lack of self-confidence and unfocused attention and the diminished or sickly nature that's easy to come up. And the insecurity creates self-delusion and self-destructive habits. I mean, we all exhibit these in our life. This is how we learn and grow, through polarity and recognizing when it's a weakened base chakra. In a weakened base chakra, sexuality is almost non-existent. You know, like out of order signs.
Yeah, like too much self-doubt, it sounds like.
Yeah. Now the overactive base chakra, which is is dominant and violent, egocentric and self-involved. Sadism and greed kind of dominate these kind of people. And their sexuality is demonstrated through somebody else's pain or disillusion.
Sounds like we're psychopathic, or serial killers sort of work from, right?
To be honest with you, and we'll get up there, but it's more of serial killers and psychopaths are really more out of sync with their crown chakras.
These are just bullies.
This is just the bully, you know, the one who can slam back. But you're right. It could be somebody like that. Now, what do you think a balanced expression of base would be?
Secure within yourself and knowing what you want, and it sounds like also an excitement, like a good safe place to jump off of and explore and fearless in a way.
That's good. Those are great. And it's contagious. Glow of good health and grounded and resourceful, all the things you've been saying. Energetic personality with self-confidence and embraces life challenges. His sexuality is demonstrated with affection, with natural affection. You know, those are those gregarious people who walk up, put their arm around you, don't mean anything by it, but just to be friendly.
Yeah, sure. Sharing the love. No threat. Yeah, we got plenty to go around. Nice.
Yeah, we're coming to the end of the show, and I just wanted to give folks a little heads up here that you can recognize the indications of a weak base within yourself. If you do, you can use the polarity of your throat chakra and the color blue to visually counterbalance your, putting the blue energy into your base chakra can help to trigger a counterbalance to accept and then change behavior patterns. And if you're inexplicably demonstrating the dominant characteristics of the base chakra, you can nurture yourself with some special time using the crown chakra to counterbalance that. So, I wanted to get those two things in there. Compassion, care, and higher self-inclusion are some of the things that bring a balance there. But I'm wondering if we got the base and the earth chakra covered.
Yeah, definitely. Because knowing, if you're feeling that weak base chakra of shyness or insecurity, to let in your higher self and reconnect with your source using your crown, just replugging yourself in up there. And then that can settle down into the base and help soothe that with the unconditional love and knowing your divine nature and all of that. That's interesting. That makes sense.
There you go. Creative visualization work is the key. Visualizing in your mind's eye these colors in these different chakra centers. And the more you do it, practice, 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 you begin to feel your chakras awakening, alive, and connective to them. And let your instincts, your imagination and instincts help you along. If something comes into your visualization, into your mind's eye, like for me, I'll tell you, I was sitting in a rental car in San Francisco waiting for someone to come out of the bank, and they were going to be in there a while. I knew that. And I was just sitting there and I thought, well, let me do some meditation or create. And I brought the light down and I was opening my crown chakra. And I've always used the many-petaled white water lily or lotus. And that's just SOP to open the crown chakra, to allow the light in. You know, you visualize the top of your head like the opening lotus. And as I did, well, my Alta chakra at the base of my, you know, the base, the stem, at the base of the brainstem, all of a sudden it was a flower. It was a bird of paradise, and there was a turquoise color to it. And then my third eye became this absolutely stunning, what do you call it, passion flower that opened up. And my throat chakra became a blue rose. And my heart chakra was a green rose. And my solar plexus became a black-eyed Susan. And so my point is that, of course, the flowers were speaking to me. I work with them. Of course they are. If you get a creative nudge with visualization, I mean, you could, I know people who have said, well, my base chakra is Zeus. You know, I mean, it works. And boy, anybody walking around with a base chakra of Zeus, I'm going to step aside. I mean, really, because we work, what comes to us is what we call to us, and what we call to us is what we become familiar with. So when I say study and learn, if you like sacred sites, learn about them, man. Study them. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like you could do the same thing with animals. If you're really connected with animals, everything could have its own. Yeah.
Really? Why not? An animal medicine for each chakra? I think it's cool. That is cool. I mean, you could, that is an energy that would really be, and I'll bet your relationship with animals would be extraordinary.
Mm.
That's incredible. Wow. So next week we have our guest, Allie Cheslick. She'll be with us, and we'll talk about what's going on now and coming up in the future with mediums and exploring that. And then move on with our and light body series as soon as another slot with Nick and I come along. Unless Nicole has a project, that's where we're going.
Nice. Sounds great. Oh, this is very exciting, Glenn. I really like this. I'm looking forward to our journey up the body.
I got to tell you, that is so cool. Animal medicine for the different, and gods and goddesses, very cool. Lots of different things. And this show has been brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com and Spirit Therapy, which is on Monday nights at 7 p.m. with Nicole Tomasini.
Yeah, we're going to pick it up again on Monday. So we're going to talk about something in terms of being happy and finding your happiness and starting from a good place in 2014. So definitely join me. I'm going to be flying solo. So please call in and talk to me if you feel so.
Okay, good. Diane's got the week off?
Yeah, she's going to take a little time. She's got a little bit of a scheduling conflict, so I may be on my own for a little bit, but it's all gravy. So, yeah, she'll be my offline consultant.
There you go. Okay, we're off the air in 1 second.
All right. Peace and love. Lots of fun, Gwen. Thanks.
You're welcome. And I will talk to you in the daytime.
All right. During the snowstorm, everyone be safe out there. I see it's picking up. So be safe on the eastern northern coast.
Yes, please do. Please do. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Gwen. Good night.
Good night.